Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, chatterers, and welcome to another day with Chatterbox. Today, we're going to hear a story about Cam Jansen on case number 5, The Mystery of the Gold Coins. And this is by David A. Adler. I hope you enjoy mysteries because we're going to have fun with this one. Cam Jansen and her friend Eric Shelton were carrying their science fair projects to school. Cam had made a box camera. Eric's project was a big, heavy wooden sundial. Cam looked at Eric. His face was turning red. "I think we should stop here and rest," Cam said. "No, I can go a little further." Eric took a few more steps. Then the sundial started to slip from his hand. "Okay," Eric said. "We can rest now if you want to." They were standing close to a bus stop. Eric put the sundial down quickly before it could fall. Then he sat on the bus stop bench bag she was holding on her lap. The camera was inside the bag. "You didn't have to make your sundial so big," Cam said. "I made it big so we could put it in the garden after the science fair. My mother said she'll plant ivy around it." Eric looked at the cloth bag Cam was holding and asked, "What are you going to do with your camera?" "I'll keep it, of course." "Why? Your mental camera takes better pictures than any real camera, and your mental camera never needs film." Cam's mental camera is her memory. She can look at a scene and remember every detail. It's as if she had a photograph of the scene stored in her mind. Whenever Cam wants to remember something, she looks at it carefully and says, "click." Cam says, "click," is the sound her mental camera makes when it takes a picture. When Cam was younger, people called her Jennifer. That's her real name, and Red. Because she has red hair. But when they found out about her photographic memory and heard her say click, they started calling her the camera. Soon, the camera was shortened to Cam. "I know that my mental camera doesn't need film," Cam told Eric, "but I can't show people the photographs stored in my brain. And I can't put my mental photographs in the album. So I need a real camera, too." Just then, a bus stop. A young couple got off. They looked at Eric's project. "What's that?" the man asked. "It's a sundial." "Can it really tell time?" the woman asked. "Sure. If the arrow is pointed north and the sun is shining and you carry that around all the time," the man said. He laughed. "It must be heavy. Wouldn't it be easy to wear a wristwatch?" Eric started to explain that the sundial was for the 5th grade science fair, but the man wasn't listening. "I should have asked him how he winds it or if it tells time underwater," the man said to the woman as they walked away laughing. "Let's go," Cam said to Eric. before someone asks you what time it is. Eric stood behind his sundial. He straightened his collar and smiled. Take my picture. Cam stepped back a few feet. She looked straight at Eric and said, Clint, no, use your real camera. It was a bright spring day. The sun was behind Cam. Excuse me for 1 minute, Chatterers. Had something in my throat. With this camera, you have to stand perfectly still for 5 seconds, she told Eric. If you move, the picture will be a blur. Cam took the camera from the bag. She held it with both hands. She pulled a string that lifted a cardboard flap. Then she counted. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi. She let the string go, and the flap fell down again. Do you think it will come out? Eric asked. If I aim the camera right, you'll come out. You stood still, but behind you will be a blur. A car drove past. A man came out of one of the stores, and someone walked by with a dog. As Cam put the camera in his bag, a young man in a red plaid jacket ran past. He knocked into Cam. Her camera fell, and the man bent down to pick it up, but Eric had it. It's lucky I caught this before it hit the ground, Eric said. It might have broken. Cam wasn't listening. She was watching the man run off. He must be in some rush, she said. He didn't even say he was sorry. Cam put her camera back in the bag. Eric picked up his sundial, and they walked together toward school. As they walked past a large wooded area, Cam heard the sounds of twigs breaking. Eric stopped walking so he could rest. Cam stopped, too. So did the sounds. Cam turned around, but no one was there. Did you hear something? Cam asked Eric. No. Eric said he was ready. He picked up the sundial, and he and Cam began to walk. Cam heard the sound of twigs breaking again. Did you hear that? Cam whispered. They're moving in the woods. Maybe it's an animal. Stop for a minute. Eric put down the sundial, and the sounds of footsteps stopped. It's not an animal, Cam whispered. An animal wouldn't stop whenever we do. Someone is following us. Why would anyone follow us? Eric asked. I don't know. But let's not stay here and find out. Can you run with that thing? I'll try. Eric picked up the sundial. He tried to run, but his knees kept hitting the sundial. He and Cam stopped at the corner. Cam turned, but she didn't see anyone behind them. Then Cam and Eric crossed the street and ran the one block to school. They went in through the side entrance. When they got inside, Eric dropped the sundial and collapsed on the floor. Were we followed here? He asked. He was out of breath. I don't know. I don't see anyone out there, Cam said. Cam waited while Eric rested. Then they went together to the auditorium. Near the door, a teacher was sitting behind a desk. I'm Jennifer Jansen, and this is Eric Shelton. Where should we put our science projects? The teacher looked at Cam for a moment. Then she said, are you the girl Miss Benson told me about, the one with the amazing memory? Yes, she is, Eric said. We call her Cam, and she remembers everything. Just watch. Eric told Cam to look at the teacher and say, click. Cam looked at the teacher. She said, click, and closed her eyes. Now ask Cam anything, Eric said. Ask her what color your hair is or what it says on that button you're wearing. All right, what does the button say, the teacher asked. Kim's eyes were still closed. She said, "You ran a lot of buttons. The campaign button you have on your collar says, 'Vote Smart,' and 'Add Smart for Senator.' The buttons on your dress say, 'GGC,' for Gully Gully Clothes. And the second button from the top is 'Chip.'" The teacher looked at her second button. "It is Chip," she said. "Amazing. Well, it's a real pleasure to meet you, Jennifer." The teacher looked at a list she had on her desk and said, "Jennifer, you can set up your project on table 54. Eric, you can set your project up next to table 48. Kim and Eric walked into the school auditorium. "Look over there," Eric said. "Linda Baker is talking to Miss Benson. I'll bet she's telling Miss Benson how great her project is. She'd do anything to win." Kim said, "Let's set up our projects. Then we can look at what Linda and everyone else made." Kim went to table 54. She took her camera, two folders, and some tape from the bag she was holding. Kim opened the folders and taped them to the table. The first folder explained how Kim had made her camera. The second folder had some photographs Kim had taken with the camera. Kim put her camera between the two folders and went to find Eric. Eric was looking at Linda Baker's project. It was called Light Helps Plants Grow. There were a few pots with different sized plants growing in them, and with signs saying how many hours of light each plant got each day. One pot was empty. The sign in the empty pot said, "Zero." "How do you like my project?" Linda asked. "Miss Benson said it was very well done." "It's very nice," Kim said. Linda smiled. "I think it's going to win. I'll get a science trophy just like my brother did." Linda never awarded the plants that she didn't want to grow. She'd do anything to win. Kim and Eric looked at some of the other projects. There was one called The Invisible Zoo. It had empty cages and a report on animals that are extinct. There was a scale made from a hot water bottle and a tube. And there was one girl who experimented with her baby teeth. She let the teeth soak in soda. After 2 weeks, the teeth had dark stains. While Kane read the report, soda, sugar, and teeth, Eric wound off looking at other projects. Then he came running back. Kim, where's your camera?" "It's where I left it, on table 54. "No, it's not. The folders are there, but the camera is gone." Kim ran to table 54. The camera wasn't there. "Help me look for it," Kim said to Eric. They looked on the other tables and on the floor. Then as Kim was looking near a window, she saw a man outside run past. He was carrying something under his jacket and running toward the woods. Kim looked straight at him and said, "Click." Kim called to Eric, "Come with me. I think whoever took my camera ran outside with it." Eric followed Kim to the side entrance. No one was out there. "Let's go back in," Eric said. "Let's tell Miss Benson. I'll bet it was Linda or her brother who took your camera." "No, not now. I just saw a man run from here. Maybe he has the camera. If we hurry, maybe we can catch him." Kim ran ahead. She stopped running when she reached the edge of the woods. She had seen the man running there, but now it was dark and quiet. Kim saw a few birds and some squirrels moving in the woods, but nothing else. When Eric caught up with Kim, she told him to be quiet and listen. Kim and Eric stood at the edge of the woods for a minute. Then they heard a noise. Kim saw a man move in the middle of the woods. She looked straight at him and said, "Click." The man turned and saw Cam and Eric. He dropped what he was holding and ran. Let's get Miss Benson, Eric said. Cam wasn't listening. She was already going into the woods. She tried to run, but she couldn't. Too many low branches got in her way. When Cam reached the other side of the woods, the man was gone. Did you see which way he went? Eric asked. When he caught up with Cam. Cam shook her head. Look for it. Cam closed her eyes and said, click. He dropped it into a big leafy bush next to a tree with white bark, a birch tree. Cam said with her eyes still closed. Cam and Eric found the birch tree. They searched in the bushes nearby. Look, over here, Eric said. I found it. I found your camera. Now we can go back to school. But why would someone take it and then throw it away? Cam asked. Maybe he was scared, Eric said. Cam took the camera from Eric and looked at it. Whoever took my camera opened it up one right. Now the film is ruined. Cam opened the camera. The film is in ruin. It's gone. Cam sat on the ground. She held the camera in her lap. Eric sat next to her. You have your camera back. Why are you so upset? Eric asked. I'm not upset. I'm puzzled. Why would someone want the film in my camera? I still think it was Linda's brother. That Baker family must really love science prizes. Cam shook her head and said, no, I think Linda or her brother will want to win that way. Cam sat there and thought for a while. Then she said, whoever took the camera must have wanted what was on that film. That's why he took the film and left the camera. But the only picture I took was of you standing next to your stun doll. Why would anyone want that? Cam closed her eyes and said, click. She shook her head. Then she said, click. Again. That's it, Cam said and opened her eyes. I have a picture in my head of you standing next to the sundial. One of the people in the background was leaving the store. He bumped into me and knocked the camera from my hands. He was wearing a red plaid jacket. I think he's the same man I saw in the woods. Probably follow us to school, Eric said. But why? Come on, Cam said. Let's go back to that store and find out. When Cam and Eric reached the bus stop, Cam looked at the row of stores. Then she closed her eyes and said, click. He was leaving a coin store, Cam said. She opened her eyes and pointed to a small shop right behind the bus stop. That's the one. They walked to the store. Cam tried to open the door. She couldn't. It was locked. There's a sign, Eric said. It says, Collins. Coin shop, coins for collectors, Monday, April the 21st. That's next week, Cam said. Then the store was closed when I took that picture. Cam thought for a moment. Then she said, that's it. That explains why that man wanted to film. What's it? Eric asked, but Cam wasn't listening. She looked through the store window. There's someone inside, Cam said, and she knocked hard on the glass. An old man came to the window. He pointed the sign and said something. Cam and Eric couldn't hear him. The old man moved his lips slowly, forming the words, we're closed. Cam moved her lips too, but the man didn't understand what she was telling him. Cam turned to Eric. Do you have a pencil and paper? A folded sheet of paper and a pencil from his pocket and gave them to Cam. Don't lose the paper, Eric said. My homework is on it. Cam turned the paper over and wrote, I think you were robbed, in large letters. He held the paper up to the store window. The old man read the note. Then he opened the door and asked, why do you think I've been robbed? Cam told him about the stolen camera and the man she saw leaving his store. Since you were closed, I thought that maybe he robbed the store and stole my camera and a film so that no one would know he was inside. The man smiled and said, it couldn't have been this door. The door was locked when I left, and it was still locked when I came in, and the alarm was still set. You must have seen him leaving someplace else. No, it was this store. It had to be, Eric said. Cam said click, and when she says that, she remembers everything. I don't know about clicks, but I do know I haven't been robbed. Come in and see for yourself. It was a small, crowded shop. Locked glass cases with coins in them were hanging along the walls. The old man stood next to a large glass counter. It was filled with coins, old dollar bills, and catalogs. I'm Mr. Collins, the old man said. I worry that my store might be robbed. The coins in this shop are worth a lot of money. That's why there's a lock on each case and alarm on the door. Everything here is just the way I left it last night. Cam told Mr. Collins that she was sorry to have bothered him. Then she and Eric left the store. As they walked towards school, Eric said, I still think it was Linda Baker's brother. I'll bet the Bakers have a shelf just waiting for that science trophy. Cam and Eric stopped at the corner and waited for the traffic light to change. Then just as they were crossing the street, they heard someone call to them. It was Mr. Collins. Come back, he yelled. I had been robbed. Cam and Eric ran back into the store. Mr. Collins was standing by the door, holding two small display cases. These were two of my most valuable coins, he said. They were gold and almost 100 years old. And now they're gone. Was anything else taken, Cam asked? No, I didn't know anything was gone until I found these empty boxes. They were in the case where I left them, and the case was still locked. He closed the door of the case. Mr. Collins telephoned the police. Then after he hung with the telephone, he said to Cam and Eric, I just don't understand it. I've been robbed, and I haven't even opened the store yet. The locks weren't broken. Cam and Eric stood by the door and waited for the police. Mr. Collins kept shaking his head and saying, I just don't understand it. Cam and Eric heard a siren. The noise got louder and louder. Then a police car drove up and parked in front of the coin shop. The siren stopped. Both front doors of the car opened. The driver got out first. It was a tall, thin police woman. Then a policeman got out from the other side of the car. He was fat and had a mustache. Both police officers came quickly into the store. The policeman asked Mr. Collins, what was taken? I don't understand it, Mr. Collins told the police. I have all the best locks. They're brand new. I didn't even know I was robbed until these children told me. Can you tell us what was taken? The policeman asked again. Two gold coins. Mr. Collins showed the police the empty case boxes and the case they were kept in. And Cam and Eric told the police about their science fair and a photograph Cam took of Eric and his sundial. A man was leaving this store when I took the picture, Cam said. He followed us to school and stole the film right out of my camera. It's too bad we don't have that, woman said. But we do have a picture of him, Cam told her. I went click and took Eric's picture with my mental camera before I used my real camera. I also went click when the man ran past the window at school and when he dropped my camera in the woods. You have pictures? You should have shown them to us right away, the policeman said. They are not real pictures, Eric said. They're mental pictures. Cam can look at them and tell you exactly what the man looks like. The policewoman smiled and said, that's almost as good. She took a pencil and pad from her pocket and asked Cam to describe the man. Cam closed her eyes and said, click. The best picture I have of him is when he ran past the window at school. He was wearing a red plaid jacket, a yellow shirt, and brown pants. He's thin and not very tall. He has dark hair and wears big eyeglasses with red frames. What? Mr. Collins here, did you say rear eyeglasses? That's Jimmy. Jimmy? Jimmy who? Both police officers asked Mr. Collins. I told you that when I moved in, I had new locks and an alarm put in. Well, Jimmy worked for the locksmith. Jimmy worked here for almost a week. When he finished, I put in all these coins. I thought they'd be safe here. Where does Jimmy work? What's the name of the locksmith? The policeman asked. He works for Lenny at Seaside Hardware. It's in the Hamilton Shopping Mall. If you'll come with us, the policewoman said to Cam, Eric, and Mr. Collins, we'll go there and see if we can find Jimmy. The policewoman drove the car into the shopping mall parking lot. She parked in front of the Seaside Hardware store. The policewoman whispered to Cam, Eric, and Mr. Collins, do you see Jimmy anywhere? Eric pulled on Cam's sleeve and pointed. Someone with dark hair and eyeglasses with red frames was busy buying something from one of the machines. That's him, Cam whispered to the policewoman. Saw the police coming. He looked frightened, but he didn't run off. He turned back to the machine. As he put his money in, Cam looked straight at him and said, click. Are you the locksmith? The policewoman asked the man behind the counter. Yes, I'm Lenny. Did you put in new locks and alarm in Collins' coin shop? I didn't. Jimmy did. He's new here. It was his first job alone, but I checked his work. He did a fine job. Well, the store was robbed. Two gold coins are missing, and these two children saw Jimmy leaving the store when it should have been closed. I didn't take any coins. You can check me, Jimmy said. Aaron pointed to a red plaid jacket hanging behind the counter. Can we take your jacket, too? Cam asked. Jimmy hesitated for a moment. Then he said, sure, check anything you want. You won't find any gold coins. Lenny handed the jacket to the policeman. The policeman emptied the pocket. He took out some tissues, chewing gum, and a large ring of keys. The woman picked up the keys. Those are my house keys, Jimmy said. Mr. Collins took a ring of keys from his pocket. He compared the two sets of keys. Some of these look just like mine, Mr. Lenny compared the keys and said, some of these are the same. All right, Jimmy, the policeman said, you have to come with us and answer some questions. What about my coin? You're not getting any coins back, Jimmy said, because I, to make a long story short, he did have the coins, and Mr. Collins was so thankful to Cam and Eric. Why don't you take her picture? There's no film in my camera. No, use your other camera, the one that saved my coins. Joan was shaking hands with one of the judges. Cam looked straight at her and said, click. Then Cam looked at Mr. Collins. He was talking to Cam's parents and to Eric and his family. I'm taking your pictures, too, Cam told us. Cam's mother come to here. Eric's mother held Howie up so that he would be in the picture. Then they smiled. Cam looked straight at them all and said, well, chatterers, I hope that you enjoyed